He's devouring our crops that we plant. You know, he's devouring the very food that we have. He's devouring that. He's taking it from us. Devouring, I mean, he's just consuming it. He's taking it away. Our money doesn't seem to quite make it from the first of the month to the end of the month. Our money sometimes play out in the middle of the month. Now, you know that's the devourer. So check yourself. Make sure that you're doing the things that you said you're supposed to do. And Malachi said, my people are robbing me. And they asked God, they said, well, how are we robbing you? He said, through tithes and offerings. Pay your tithes. Pay your offerings. Do the things that God is calling you to do. And when you do that, God says he will give you a sevenfold blessing. You know, through faith, we can have our needs met. We can have the desires of our heart. God will rebuke that devourer for our sake. And we will receive that sevenfold blessings from God. Saints, I want you to understand, this is, we're not playing. We're being sincere, all sincere. I'm asking you to get your heart together, get your mind together, get your thinking together. Become sincere in what you're doing for the Lord. Stop just putting on a show for the people at church or the people in your neighborhood or even maybe the people in your home. You know, just be sincere in what you do and say about God, because that's what God is going to pay. He's not going to pay you for half-heartedly doing anything. Our lesson for last week says that if you, he would that you be hot or cold. He said, because if you're lukewarm, he's going to spit you out of his mouth. You know, we have to keep our thoughts in check. We have to keep the evil thoughts out and let the good thoughts come in. Remember, faith is one of the power weapons, the most powerful weapons that we have, and we have it to use to fight the devil.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell, or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at 4501 Jackson Street Extension, Suite C, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Philippians 4, 13. These 10 words Paul speaks, and these words represent the confidence that he has in Christ. The confidence he has in Christ. Now, as he speaks these words, they're very familiar words, and they say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You may be seated in the presence of God. 10 powerful words written from the pen of Paul the Apostle while in prison. He writes these words, and as he writes them, he reminds the church at Philippi how important it is to recognize who they are and whose they are. When he deals with these 10 words, it is only after he has already shared principles with them to practice for profit, found in the 9th verse. He goes on to thank God and rejoice for their care of him in the 10th verse. He also, in the 11th and 12th verse, talks about his contentment in Christ. But when he gets to this 13th verse, he deals with his confidence in Christ. He does not speak as one who is self-centered or self-consumed in his own power, authority, or ability, but rather his boast is in his confidence in the strength that he receives from his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul deals with what is known as an infused strength, a strength that only comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. The strength that gives him the ability to conquer, change, and control every condition he finds himself in. What's important about this principle for us to learn is, if we too want to honestly and sincerely be able to say like Paul, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, let's look at what these words mean and then just walk back through a few of the verses to share what actually postures and positions him to be able to have this confidence in the Lord. First of all, I hear a personal pronoun. One of the things that I am grateful about the ministry of Paul was that Paul was clear about his own convictions. In spite of what others thought about him, what others said about him, what others did to him, Paul was clear about his non-negotiable, non-discussable, non-debatable, concrete convictions underneath the skin. And may I tell you, when you know who you are, and in spite of what other people say about you, you will always be a force for the kingdom of God. Paul stood in some situations, went up against some terrible situations and circumstances, people, potentate, and powers, but what was in him was so strong that he made clear to the believers that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Paul's confidence in Christ is so important for the believers to understand that that gives us everything we need to know and to do in this earth realm to walk in authority, to be able to be the force for good, to be able to be the atmosphere changers, to be able to be those who have the ability to speak those things which be not as though they were. All of these things come from our confidence in Christ. And here's what you've got to know. You ought not be able to say the pastor can do it, the deacons can do it, the deaconesses and the other believe. You ought to be able to say, I can. Because that's going to reach a time when all of us won't be with you, when you'll have need of that power that I'm speaking about. Can do is positive projections. Positive projections. What does this say? Why is this important? Because Paul did not say, I can't do. He didn't even focus on what he couldn't do. his positive projections were always on what he could do. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, and I'm going to throw this out to you for free. You don't need to waste a whole lot of time telling yourself and nobody else about what you can't do. It's always evident. Y'all catch that on your way home somewhere. You don't have to brag. You don't have to boast. You don't have to broadcast. You don't even have to tell folk in the most sincerest way about what you can't do. It will become conspicuously obvious in your function or non-functioning ability that you can't do certain things. But Paul chooses to focus on the things that he can do. Positive projections. Why is this so important? Because one of the things that the people of God must realize is that in this world, you have got to be, listen, able to live according to the word and not according to the world. Which means you can't be moved by everything you see in the world that disturbs you, that distresses you, that bothers you. You've got to be able to overcome those things. You've got to be able to take authority over those things. When you see darkness, you've got to be able to shine light. You've got to be able to change situations and circumstances and not just complain about them. See, you know, you're doing no better than the world to be able to pick out problems and note that this is wrong and that's wrong. And the question is, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to positively affect the situation? What difference do you make? How can you come in and influence this situation for good? Listen, you don't need another person coming on, putting more weight on a situation that's already messed up. What God needs is people who know how to make positive projections and make changes through their choices that will make differences in everything they see and everything they do. Now, not only do we have a personal pronoun, I can do positive projections, but it says through Christ, which is, listen, the proper passage. You see, the confidence that Paul had in the Lord Jesus Christ is what gave him the authority to operate in this earth realm with divine authority. And it was through Christ. Listen, Christ gave his disciples, the apostles, the believers, authority. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He's given us the keys to the kingdom. That means not only can you open up stuff, but you can lock stuff up. You've got to learn with the authority you have. There are just some things that you hear going on that the enemy is spewing out. You can lock his mouth up with that mess. Bind it up. Rebuke it. Keep it from flowing with all ease because of the authority in you. You've got to learn that you can make a difference, but that power is going to come, both the exousia and the dunamis. The exousia is the authority. The dunamis is the ability. Both of them come through Christ. He's given the ability and the authority to the believer to do everything that he did in the earth realm. He said, these things shall ye do. And greater shall ye do because I go back to the Father. So you've got to know, you've got to stop being such a take it easy, lackadaisical wimpy Christian when you've got all this authority at hand? The reason why some things don't change is because you ain't changing them. Why do you think God have you in that position, in that place? Some of us are the only people that can make a difference in the place where God has placed us, and we won't open our mouths. You waiting for God to send some reinforcement when you have not even stood up and said whose side you're on. And this confidence, Paul speaks from a Roman jail. I can do all things through Christ. But it's because of this same Christ that he's in jail. It's because of this same Christ that he has made enemies with the Jews. It's because of this same Christ that many of the believers are scared of him and still afraid of him, and they're still weary of whether or not he's playing tricks on them. It's because of this same Christ that he has demonstrated the ability to do miraculous works, and yet he's found himself bound and in prison for Christ. But you don't hear him complaining. See, Paul could have changed his condition, because from the book of Acts chapter 16 to now, where he's in the Roman jail and writing the book or the letter to the Philippians, Paul has learned some things. You see, before this, in Acts, when he was in jail with his co-laborer Silas, at midnight, they had a praise and prayer celebration. And it was so powerful and magnanimous, listen at what happened, that God rocked the jailhouse, shook it on its frames till the doors became disjointed and fell open. But listen at this. But the prayer service and the praise service was so powerful that even though the prisoners could have run out and escaped, they said, it's better to be here where Paul and Silas are speaking and praising their God, and we feel the anointed power of God in this place, that it's better to be in the jail with open doors than to free this place and be out elsewhere without him. And Paul, when the jailer came to himself, took his sword and was going to kill himself, because that was the Roman rule. If a prisoner escaped when you had placed him under quarantine and you had put him in the inner chambers, and if a prisoner escaped, then your life would be taken in place of the prisoner. That prisoner got ready to kill himself, and Paul said, do yourself no harm. We are all here. Something about the name Jesus makes you feel good, real, real good. And when the jailer heard this and got in on the praise and the prayer, listen, he got saved. Not only did he get saved, his whole family got saved because Paul was in jail. See, sometimes God will put you in some places you don't want to be to save people who otherwise wouldn't have been saved if you wouldn't have been there. Lord, I wish I was talking to somebody who understood what I was saying. Some of you on your jobs, you don't want to be there, but you ain't on your job just to make a paycheck. God's got you there for a larger reason. Monday morning coming, you get the Monday morning blues because you got to face that job again. You're like, Lord Jesus, I don't. Stomach hurt, head hurt, everything hurt, but you drag yourself right on that to the job. But listen, God's not going to release you until you do what you've been sent there to do. And it's not just to make a paycheck, but to represent him. What you forget is promotion comes from the Lord. Listen, he can not only promote you up, he can promote you out. But you got to do what he told you to do first. And so Paul has learned now in Philippians, verse 11, to be content in whatsoever state he's in. Listen at this. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, verse 11. For I have learned. Contentment is learned behavior. Somebody said, well, no, yes, you can learn how to be content. Paul just declared, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. There were three things that Paul had, and I'll throw this out for you so that you can jot them down. And you know, first thing, he knew God sovereignly. He knew the sovereign God, Jehovah God. Secondly, he had a relationship with the Savior, Jesus Christ. And thirdly, he knew the all-sufficiency of his God. There was nothing he had need of that his God could not provide. And my brothers and my sisters, when you know that God's got your back, your front, your up, your down, your in, your out, amen, your all around, you ain't got to worry about nothing, because God's got this thing fixed. That builds up your confidence in God. You wish the devil would come with some mess when you talk to your God about whatever the situation is, and then you know from him that you have the authority to represent him, to speak on his behalf, to be able to call those things not as though they were. You have the ability to rebuke, to remove, to stop, to bind, to, oh, y'all not hearing me here. When you realize you ain't got to wait on him to do it all, he has empowered you, anointed you, so you can take care of the issue right here and right now. That'll build your confidence like nothing else. I'm waiting on the Lord. For what? When he has empowered you, what are you waiting on him for? Listen. If he's given you the power, why do you need him to come and do it? And that's what most Christians miss. He empowered me so he wouldn't have to do it for me, but rather that I would be able to do it in his authority. And so he goes on to let him know, when you're content in Christ, listen to what he says in verse 12. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed. Who's talking to you, Paul? The Holy Ghost. See, you got to have him on the inside. You've got to have communication and fellowship with him. How many of you know he's a mighty good leader? How many of you know that he will talk to you? He'll walk with you. He'll share things with you. He'll show you things up ahead. He'll tell you what tomorrow holds. He'll let you know who's with you and who's not with you. Y'all not talking to me today. He said, I am instructed. Well, Paul, what are you instructed? Both to be full and to be hungry. Look what he says. Both to abound and to suffer need. Paul says, let me tell you something. I've lived long enough in Jesus Christ to know that the stuff I used to worry about ain't no sense in me worrying about it because he's already worked it out. Now, I may be working through it, but he's already worked it out. And if he's already worked it out, then I've got to do my part and work through it. Because what I'm working through is to get what God has for me. And what God has for me, I got to go and get it. And so Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, my proper passage. Here's the last part. Which strengtheneth me, infuses me with power. And I like this because this term infused with power means that whenever my power gets low, and I got news for you, your power never gets low till you use it. See, some of you right now on still full charge. You leave here from Sunday to Sunday, come back full. I leave here full, come back here empty to get filled up again because I used it all last week, making it to next Sunday, doing what God called me to do. You leave on full, come back on full because you ain't went nowhere. You just idled up. You ain't going nowhere. Just idling up. And don't idle long neither. That's why some of you looking at your watch and I'm like, all right, come on now. All right. Listen. The proper passage that provides the strength we need continually. It infuses you with strength, which means when your strength gets low, he strengtheneth. It's always in the present tense. He always gives me the strength I need for every situation. For everything I have to go through, he gives me infused strength. I don't ever have to worry about running out of strength because at the time I need more strength, he strengtheneth me. He infuses me. See, sometimes you can be running so long, you ain't got time to stop. I was watching a documentary the other day, and it was showing one of the Air Force major flying aircrafts. It was one of their war planes, and it was one that carried their bombers, and it carried it a long distance. But the bomber, from the time it started to the time it reached its desired destination, could not make it on the fuel it took off with. But the pilot wasn't worried. He flew as far as he could fly. But when it got to the point where he needed to be refueled, he simply made a call and told those back at the headquarters he's getting low on fuel. And then another plane came that was a fueling plane that came and connected in flight with the bomber plane and connected and began filling up that bomber plane with more fuel so it could continue its mission. And when it got through filling it up, it disconnected and flew on off.